Dear devotees, you've been listening to the description of Ras Panchadhyayi of the Bhagavatam, written by Vedvyasji and told by Shukadev Paramahans to King Parikshit more than 5,000 years ago. The main leelas of Shri Krishna's entire avatar here on earth are described in the Bhagavatam, from his appearance all the way to his disappearance, spanning more than 125 years. During that time, he was in Braj for 11 and a half years. And while in Braj, he revealed the ultimate form of the divine bliss through his various leelas, which are always happening in the divine world, but which he reveals openly from time to time here on this material earth. And among all of those leelas, Maharas Leela holds a very special place. There are many kinds of devotees and many kinds of saints. According to the type of devotion they did, they attained different classes of divine status. The gopis of Braj are considered to be the highest class of saint. They are the Samartharati Madhuryabhav devotees of Bhagwan Shri Krishna. Therefore, only they qualify for the Maharas Leela. Of all the kinds of saints all over the world, all over the divine world, only the gopis gain entrance to divine Vrindavan, and only the gopis are on the invitation list for Maharas. Like when you arrive at a party, like you go to a party of a big personality, there's a guest list. If your name's not on that guest list, then you're not granted entrance. You have to make sure before going that you're on the guest list. So if you want entrance to Maharas, you have to make sure that you emulate the devotion of the gopis. We saw in the description of Maharas that Shri Krishna took permission of Radharani, and then invited all the gopis to come by playing on his flute. The gopis came each in their own status of samadhi according to their bhav for Shri Krishna and according to their type of divine attainment. And in that totally absorbed state, they ran through the jungle to reach the place where Shri Krishna had played on his flute. Then there was some discussion between Shri Krishna and the gopis, and the true form of dharma was clarified, that the ultimate dharma is to love God, and everything else is secondary. Now that that was completed, Shri Krishna began lavishing his affection on the gopis. At one point, Shri Krishna disappeared, and the gopis were surprised to find that Shri Krishna was nowhere around. They were just enjoying his amazing divine association. And all of a sudden, he vanished. The gopis were overcome with deep viraha. Milan and viraha are two waves of the divine experience. The experience of a saint who has attained formless God is just like a flat ocean, just perfectly calm. But in the field of Premanand, in the leelas of Shri Krishna, the experience is much enriched from that calm ocean of divine peace. And part of the way that it's enriched is with the alternation between Milan and Viraha. The gopis enjoyed the close personal association of Shri Krishna for some time, and then having given them that bliss of Milan, he vanished and they received the bliss of Viraha. We call Viraha like a sweet pain in the heart. But it's the kind of pain, it's the type of divine pain which is even more enjoyable than the bliss of Milan. It's a sweet longing to meet Shri Krishna that drowns one's consciousness. And in that state, one feels a complete state of unity with Shri Krishna. And yet desires to meet him and find him, or desires for him to come to you. In this indescribable state, these are all divine things that can't be imagined or understood by a material mind, but can be guessed to some extent according to the level of experience of a devotee. If that devotee has a true Rasik Mahapurush as their guru, with that guru's grace, practicing Roop Dhyan, trying to cry for Shri Krishna and develop longing for him, singing his name and leelas, remembering him all the time, one's heart purifies and we develop bhav with the grace of that Rasik Mahapurush. Then, to whatever level our experience rises to, that much we can have some guess at what the gopis experience, or even what Radha and Krishna experience. We start to understand more and more. So I'm describing it, not that I can give you the experience. A true saint can, to the extent of one's surrender to that saint. But I can try to share with you a sense of excitement or an inspiration to do Roop Dhyan on these leelas of Radha Krishna and pray to Radha Krishna for a true Rasik Guru who could guide you and grace you to have these experiences. So I am myself not divinely experienced in these matters. I'm not a qualified, experienced teacher nor speaker, but we have to work with what we have. So with the grace of my guru, I share something with you about Maharas and gopis and these divine states. So the gopis were in this state of viraha, and forgetting themselves, they enacted Shri Krishna's leelas, but not in a conscious way. In that state of being completely drowned and that state of unity with Shri Krishna, unconsciously they acted out all of Krishna's leelas and acted like Shri Krishna, believing themselves to be Shri Krishna. And they searched for him in the jungle, and the deeper they went, the darker it got. And eventually, having joined with Radharani, they decided to come back to the bank of Yamuna. And instead of chasing Shri Krishna through the jungle, cry out for him, call for him humbly. And in this way, they express the deepest sense of humbleness and desire for God. This is all we have to do. Humbleness and yearning. With that, Shri Krishna will come to us. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sada hari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ji, who is the avatar of Radha Krishna, he says, how to do devotion? This is the first thing. Be more humble than a blade of grass. None of us are, and none of us can become like that in one day or one hour, but we should know that that's the sign of a true devotee. It means none of us are true devotees. A true devotee is more humble than a blade of grass. Somebody steps on the grass, and the grass just bows down. More forbearing and forgiving than a tree. The mango tree absorbs the blows of the stones that people throw at it. And what does it give in return? Fruit. It doesn't grumble. It doesn't take revenge. It gives fruit. None of us have those qualities fully developed in us. They're devotional qualities. And they develop with the grace of a true guru, the more one practices sadhana, the more one's heart purifies. The gopis express this extreme humbleness that, oh my beloved, I am nothing without you. My whole life is for you. You are my everything. So please come to us. This is the essence of the Gopi Geet. As I explained to you, out of 18 Puran, Bhagavatam is supreme. And within the 12 skand of the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto is the most important and is said to be the heart of the Bhagavatam, because this is the skand where Shri Krishna's leelas are described. And within that 10th canto, the 5 chapters that describe Maharas are said to be the life of the 10th canto, the Pancha Pran. And within those 5 chapters, the Gopi Geet is the essence of the true devotion, you can say. And within that Gopi Geet, that one shlok that I described to you yesterday, yat te sujat charanam buruham staneshu bhita shanai priyadadhi mahikar kasheshu, where the gopis described their feelings for Shri Krishna in such a selfless way that none of us can even imagine, because we've never loved anyone completely selflessly. So this final statement of the gopis was the one that won Shri Krishna's heart. He couldn't stay away anymore. When he heard the gopis say this, he appeared in front of them. Amidst thousands and thousands of gopis stood Shyam Sundar, glowing in the night, wearing his pitambar and his banmala. And for all the gopis, it was like in a dead body, life is renewed. Seeing Shri Krishna, they just came back to life. And his beauty is unlimited times greater than that of Kamdev. Kamdev can steal the heart of any material being, and Shri Krishna steals the heart of Kamdev. So imagine the greatness of his beauty. So they're standing in the middle of the gopis. The gopis just drank in this vision of Shri Krishna. This is how the 4th chapter of the Ras Panchadhyayi begins. So now the gopis, who had been suffering, I say suffering with quotation marks around it, it's a divine suffering, which is considered to be more enjoyable than even the bliss of meeting Shri Krishna. But they had been suffering this heat of viraha. So now seeing Sri Krishna, they began to feel that fire calming within them. So one gopi came and took Sri Krishna's hand in her hand and she was caressing it like that. Another gopi came on the side and put Krishna's arm around her shoulders. Another gopi came and took Sri Krishna's feet in her lap and pressed them to her heart to calm that fire of viraha. Another gopi came and got the paan that Sri Krishna was chewing on and got that prasad. Another gopi was still feeling that annoyance that he had disappeared and using her eyebrows and her glances and biting her lip. She's looking at him, making sure he knows. Another gopi is just looking without blinking and drinking the ras of Sri Krishna's beauty. And another one looks and closes her eyes and does Roop Dhyan of Sri Krishna, holding him in her heart. So this went on for we don't know how long. I told you the whole of Maharas lasted for a whole night of Brahma, more than 4 billion of our years. So each of these sections of Maharas must have lasted for a long time. In the divine blissful states, nobody feels bored. Gopis could go on looking at Sri Krishna like that for millions of years and never feel bored. It's like every second is ever new. Every second they feel he's become more beautiful than a moment ago. And then they look again. Oh, he's even more beautiful. Vedavyasji writes that if you took all the beauty in all the three worlds that ever has been, is, and ever will be, all of that beauty taken together is only but an unch of Sri Krishna's beauty. And it's all emanating from him. You could never get bored of seeing such beauty. It's not just that you're seeing it. You're drinking in the bliss of that beauty with every pore of your body and with all five of your senses. So after some time, Sri Krishna took the gopis down onto the banks of Yamuna on that sandy, wide, flat, soft sand area out in the moonlight. And some gopis took their chunaris and spread it on the ground and Sri Krishna sat there. So again, the gopis were surrounding Sri Krishna, you could say like the moon, the full moon in the sky surrounded by all the stars. And on one side, one gopi took one of Krishna's hands. On another side, they took another. Someone else is pressing his feet. Now, after some time, the gopis wanted to get some information from Shyam Sundar about his disappearing. So they said, there are some people who love those who love them. Somebody loves you and you love them. That's one type of person. There are some people who don't even love those who love them. Whether you love them or don't love them, they don't love you. And there are some people who, whether you love them or don't love them, they do love you. So three types of people. One, who like a business type relationship, you love them, so they love you. Someone who will love you anyway, whether you love them or don't love them. And then someone who doesn't love anybody. So which out of these three are you? Gopis want to know. So Sri Krishna explains that, yes, the first kind of person, this is very common in the world. This is basically what we could call worldly love. A type of vyapar, where someone does something to make us happy. We like that, so we get attached to them. We call it love. They also want something from us, so if we make them happy, they get attached to us, and they call that love. It's like a mathematical formula. However much someone gives you the happiness you desire, that much love you have for them. If they make you less happy, your love decreases. If they make you more happy, your love increases. And if they stop making you happy, your love disappears. Sur nar muni sab ki ya hariti swarath lagi karahi sab priti jehi te kachhu swarath. Tulsidas ji says, wherever we have swarth siddhi, wherever our self-interest is being fulfilled, exactly there and exactly in that much amount, we will have love for that person. Everybody is like this, all the material beings. So Shri Krishna says, I'm not in this first category. These are ordinary worldly people. The second category, who will love someone who loves them and who will also love someone who doesn't love them. Shri Krishna says that there are very few examples of this in the world, and the closest thing that we can come to is the love a mother and father have for their child. They make a great sacrifice and they're not getting anything in return, at least initially. Kripaluji Maharaj says that really the only one who can love someone without expecting anything in return is God or a God-realized saint. But here Shri Krishna is speaking about material people. So he says parents have some type of selfless love for their kids. Now the third type, those who don't love anybody, whether they love them or don't love them, he says they're actually of four categories. First of all, you have paramahansas. A paramahansa is so absorbed in the oneness that the paramahansa doesn't see anything other than himself. He's completely absorbed in oneness with Nirakar Brahm. And wherever he looks, he sees himself. So there's no one to, or anything to get attached to. So the Paramahansa is not going to love you whether you love the Paramahansa or not. Paramahansa means like a Jnani Mahapurush. The second type is a Hans. A Hans is also a divine saint. This saint sees in the world, okay, that person is there, I'm here, this thing is happening over there, whereas the Paramahansa is actually oblivious to all of that. The Hans, the divine saint who attains the personal form of God, recognizes the duality of the world, but since that saint's heart is full of God's divine love, the saint has no personal requirement or need from any person in this world. So the saint does not love the way we love. Someone loves the saint or makes the saint happy, so the saint loves that person. No. Whether someone loves the saint or hates the saint does not attach their mind to anybody because their mind is already attached to God. They will still work for the well-being of those people, but their mind is not attached to them. Their mind is attached to God. The third type of person is someone who doesn't even know. In other words, they don't even know that you love them. You haven't expressed your love to them, They haven't recognized that. So you love them. They don't love you in return. That's the third type of person. And the fourth type of person is an evil-minded person who even hates his well-wishers. So Shri Krishna says, I don't come in any of these categories. There's a fourth category for me. Naham tu sakhyo bhajato pijantu bhajamyamisha manuvritti vrittaye yathadhano labdhadhane vinashte tat Chintayanyan nibhrito na veda. He says, my love is difficult to understand because I love you from inside. So what's going on inside is one thing. I am deeply attached to all of you because God and his devotees are attached to each other. Although God is Atmaram, Purnakam, Paramanishkam, he has no desires, no need for anything from anyone, yet when someone surrenders to him, he gives himself to that soul. So he says, I do love you from inside, but from outside, sometimes I act like I don't love you. Why? He gives an analogy. He says, in this world, let's say there's someone who's been very poor for their whole life. And then all of a sudden, they become extremely wealthy. They struggled their whole life, and all of a sudden, they have all this wealth. How much do they enjoy that wealth as compared to someone who had the wealth their whole life? Someone who's just become wealthy after struggling for their whole life. They love that money so much. Now snatch it away from them. Just when they started to enjoy it. What are they going to do? Their mind will be so fixated on that wealth, they won't be able to think of anything else. Shri Krishna says, this is what I do to you. The souls cry for Shri Krishna's darshan for lifetimes. And when they finally meet him and they experience that madhur milan, then he disappears and gives viraha. That's why so many saints and in so many of the writings of Shri Kripaluji Maharaj where he's describing the first meeting between a soul and Shri Krishna, and the soul might be describing, like maybe a gopi is describing to one of her sakhis, that, today I met Krishna for the first time. And her friend will say, oh yes, your heart is overflowing now, but don't you know he's going to give you his viraha as well? Then let's talk. This, of course, is all just sweet talks in remembrance of Shri Krishna. But this is how he causes the love of his devotee to go to an even higher state and burn all the impurities of the heart. Like if you take a piece of gold and put it in the fire, the higher heat you burn that gold at, it glows more and more brightly and all the impurities get burnt off. Similarly, in that fire of viraha for Shri Krishna, the soul's past karma, sanskars, everything burn up so quickly and their love for Shri Krishna reaches heights that no other saint can reach to. Why didn't the queens of Dwarika reach to the height of the gopis? Shri Krishna didn't give them this viraha. Nor did they have that same sense of selflessness that the gopis had. So Shri Krishna explained that to the gopis. And in the end he says, Naparayeham niravadya sanyujam svasadhu krityam vibudhayushapivah. Shri Krishna's amazing description of his feelings towards his devotees, the gopis. He says, gopis, yes, I gave you this viraha, I disappeared, but actually, because of your prem for me, because of the seva you have done for me, and because of the tyag you have done, you have sacrificed everything for me, I am indebted to you. And even if I lived forever and worked night and day to repay this debt, I couldn't. I would remain indebted to you forever. The only way I could be relieved of this debt is if you, out of the kindness of your heart, relieve me from the debt, and even then I'll be indebted to you. Imagine who is saying that. Supreme God, Shri Krishna, who doesn't need anything from anyone. Think of how saral and udar he is. Who could be more simple-hearted than that? You can steal Shri Krishna's heart with your devotion. That's what he's showing. He's so simple-hearted. There's nobody like this in the world. If somebody spoke like that to us in the world, we'd be suspicious. Because nobody can surrender themselves like that, totally, other than a newborn baby. We have too much chal and kapat in here. So, what do you think for Shri Krishna to give himself to us in that way? We also have to become like that. Nishchal, nishkapat. Our mind also has to be completely simple, innocent before Shri Krishna. We just have to give ourselves to him. And when we do that in the way the gopis did, loving him with madhurya bhav, loving him with total selflessness, his heart is captured by our devotion. If a person just thinks of this, there's no other devotion we have to do. Kripalji Maharaj kehte hain, yadi koi sachmuch ye samaj leta hai, वो पागल हो जाएगा खुशी में कि हमारे प्रभु इतने सरल हैं, इतने उदार हैं, इतने कृपालु हैं. He'll love me like that? All I have to do is surrender to him? Yes. So just thinking about those guna of Shri Krishna is devotion. So he revealed that in his conversation with the gopis, and he said, I will remain indebted to you forever. So once this conversation between Shri Krishna and the gopis finished, Shri Krishna began to do maharas with the gopis. The Maharas Leela, as Kripaluji Maharaj has described, is such a high thing that we can only get a general idea from outside. He says, think of it as a mahal, as a palace. And even if you don't have the right to enter the palace yet, but at least you can walk around the outside. and kind of see from all the different angles what it's like, at least from outside. On the inside, the real party's going on. And one day we can become qualified to hear about that, and not just hear about it, participate in it. So until then, we'll keep walking around the outside, getting some idea of what it will take to become qualified. So this ends the fourth chapter of Maharas, and tomorrow we'll continue with the description where Shukadevji, in very brief, as I told you, this is billions of years of Leela distilled into a few pages, a few shlokas of the Bhagavatam. But there's a brief description of what happens when Shri Krishna dances and sings with the gopis during Maharas Leela. So we'll continue with that again tomorrow night. बोलिए वृंदावन बिहारी लाल की जय